The Fearless Kitchen.
Proudly presented by worldpodcasts.com. Now it's time to join your host, Vanessa Baxter.
Hi there and welcome to another episode of our foodie podcast, The Fearless Kitchen with Vanessa Baxter. And today's guest is coming to you from San Francisco. I interviewed him over Skype. It was pretty funny actually because I needed to be in the studio by 6. And I couldn't find the lights in the studio. Thankfully, I knew the alarm code. Then I couldn't get the computer to turn on. Maybe it was a little bit sleepy. But anyway, I got there in the end and I conducted the interview completely in the dark, which was pretty funny. Forgot the either-or questions at the end of the interview and didn't ask him for his favourite cookbook either. But I tell you what, this interview is awesome. This guy is so positive and uplifting. His philosophy around food is amazing. And he shares his journey from India and how he ended up in the United States in huge accolade and acclaim at his new restaurant. But I'm not going to tell you any more than that. I'm going to let him share his story himself. So today I'm bringing you Manish Tyagi from the United States.
Hello.
Hi, Manish.
How are you?
I am good. Well done. We made it.
Yeah, we made it.
How exciting is this? So I had a friend who came to eat at your restaurant a couple of weeks ago from Australia, and he messaged me from your restaurant and said, oh, my goodness, you would absolutely love this restaurant. This guy is amazing and his food is amazing. You need to interview him for your podcast. So that's how we're here.
That's my... you know, my luck, actually, he been here and had my food and can, you know, liked it and texted you.
Oh, it's amazing, Manish. So I'm so excited. So I haven't done a lot of research on you because, to be honest, there's not a lot around except following your journey across the United States through a couple of restaurants and people raving about the fact that you have appeared in a restaurant near them. So this would be a fantastic opportunity to share a little bit about your journey from when you were young, because this podcast is for people who really love to be inspired by food stories, whether they're chefs or other foodies, and their journey with their family and their philosophy around food and where it's kind of come from. So it's not a sort of a technical podcast. It's more about sharing inspirational stories for other people.
Mm-hmm.
So where did it all begin for you, Manish, when you were young? I mean, I know you're still young, but when you were a child, you know, just share with us where you grew up and where the influence of loving food came from.
Sure. So, like, I belongs to a very kind of a middle-class family in India, and my dad was in government services.
Right.
And he was on a lower-level management position there. So, kind of, you know, our life, day-to-day life was not that lavish. We were kind of, you know, like a very normal kind of, you know, life we were living there. It's actually in northern part of India. Earlier it used to be called Uttar Pradesh, but then you know, a new state formed in 2000. Now the name of the state is Uttarakhand, and in that my town name is Dakpathar.
Right.
And like I grew up and did my whole schooling from there and did my graduation from Dehradun. So the journey for being a chef is actually, it's kind of an accident. It's not like I planned it in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So we are two brothers in my family. My brother is elder to me, and at the moment he's a lawyer in India.
Right.
So I was the one who actually helping my mom in day-to-day, you know, her cooking. And as my dad is actually a very passionate guy who used to call a lot of people, so almost like, you know, every alternate day or a week, you know, to dine with us. And, you know, he's kind of a very kind of a person having, you know, like kind of a lot of friends he's having. So...
Did he himself cook?
Yes, he himself cook a very like impressive meals. Like he's very much into eating non-vegetarian food. My mom is a vegetarian, so whenever he have to cook the non-vegetarian. So he kind of doing himself, and he loves to have a kind of, you know, variety of stuff himself.
Wow. And Manish, is that normal in the place that you came from? Is that normal for dads to get in the kitchen as well?
Generally, as per this religious belief, women normally in Hindu families don't touch, you know, the non-vegetarian food.
Ah, okay.
So in that case, if somebody love to eat non-vegetarian stuff, they have to cook it themselves. And for that reason, their all the utensils and all is kind of separate from the home.
Wow.
Daily usage, yes, utensils, even the dinnerware also. Like my mom is so kind of, you know, religious in that matter. She don't want to mix those utensils in which the non-vegetarian food is being cooked or been served to be in a daily operation where accidentally she can have her food in that. So
wow.
Yeah. And
what about you as a child? Were you brought up vegetarian or did you eat with your dad? Oh, you brought up vegetarian.
I brought up vegetarian. My brother was a non-vegetarian, so he was actually a kind of, you know, a company to my dad, and I was a company to my mother.
Wow.
Yeah, so we are kind of half and half in that case. So the atmosphere of the kitchen, the home was very kind of, you know, revolving around the food. My dad loves to have a good food. My mom is actually, you know, very passionate about cooking a variety of stuff, learning new things from her friends all around, and then, you know, practicing that at home. So when you grew up with that kind of atmosphere around you, you ultimately get into love with that kind of things, right?
Yeah.
So that's how I started learning things with my mom, but never thought that I'm going to be in food industry someday. Because beginning, I was a math student and did my graduation also in mathematics and statistics.
Okay.
But then because I came from a very small town, I didn't have a lot of opportunities around me while I was doing my graduation. So I was kind of very much confused what I'm going to do in my life.
Sure.
So then I given a couple of entrance examinations for professional studies. And in that, one of them was hotel management.
Ah, okay.
So I got selected in engineering and hotel management. But the problem was with engineering, the interview was quite far from my hometown. And then this hotel management interview was very close where I was living. So I opted hotel management, and because the destiny decided for me that so that's how I come into this hotel management. So I did my 3-year diploma from one of the Government Institute of India, where the curriculum was mixed with all the aspects of hotels, like front of the house, back of the house, housekeeping, engineering. So that 3-year course was completely
immersive.
Had all these knowledge, basically. So, and in the final year, it's been kind of your specialization where you have to choose which stream you want to go in. You want to go in front office, you want to go in F&B services or F&B production. So that's how, you know, things kind of, you have to decide. So in final year, I was not very sure about my cooking skills, though I kind of, you know, love to cook or love to eat. But because I was not very sure and I was not confident that I'm going to go and give my food trial while I'm going to opt a job in some of the hotels. So what I did, I opted F&B services because I was aware of, okay, what I'm going to do is I can mug up, you know, the wines and the spirits and I can, impress them with my knowledge.
Sure.
So I kind of gave my campus interviews and, my other interviews to the hotel in F&B services.
Wow.
And I got selected in one of the premier kind of hotel chain in India, the Oberoi Hotels.
Oh, yes, I know well. Okay.
So I kind of, they used to have two programs at that moment. One was OCLD. The OCLD means Oberoi Center of Learning and Development, where they take you for another 2-year master course
In everything.
In everything. And like, it's a specialization course. You can choose kitchen, you can choose, hotel management, where you're going to be like a manager, in the capacity of F&B services or housekeeping or front office. So I kind of, like in the second last round got out of it. So kind of a semi-finalist of that. So another program they had, OSER, where they used to train lower level management staff. So I got selected in that in F&B services.
Right.
But when I reached there to meet, my boss, my ultimate boss was on vacation at that moment, and the charge was with executive chef that time.
Aha.
So when he saw me, he said, are you serious? You want to go in F&B services? I have a position in F&B production also. Will you be interested in joining there? So I said, yes, definitely. And you'll not believe that guy is right now in Australia.
Oh, wow. So Manish, yeah. This is insane. So you could have been an engineer had the school been closer.
Yes.
You could have ended up being a general manager of a hotel if you decided to continue down that path, or at least an F&B manager. And yes. You ended up being interviewed by the executive chef by mistake almost, because someone was away, and that's how you've ended up following your now passion of being a chef.
Yes. And then,
that's crazy.
That's how and then he said, okay, I'm gonna help you in your food trial, but then you have to promise me that you're going to perform well and you're going to give your 100%. I said, yes, definitely, I'm going to do that. So... And then how I—that's how I get into the kitchen, and then the journey from there was amazing, actually.
But isn't that amazing, Manish? That you obviously did really well at school, well enough to be able to choose between engineering or hospitality management. Then you've ended up in the kitchen and actually gone, oh my goodness, I'm actually quite a good chef. Like, do you know what I mean? Like someone who may be heading down the engineering route, if you put them in the kitchen, may have absolutely no, innate ability to actually create really nice food. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, it is actually. And I would say in a second, opinion, like this was my passion and I never thought of, never considered it as my profession.
Right.
And I was looking around other options, leaving this option, which was always with me. And where I was always like kind of had an extra edge than other professions.
Right.
But ultimately, this was in my destiny and that's what I have to be, in future. So, you choose something for you and God have chosen something for you. So.
And you're lucky enough to find it when you were still quite young.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true.
You didn't get it squashed though, because sometimes I hear from chefs who have gone into commercial kitchens like that with this big dream, and it's like, oh my goodness, you're left washing rice for 2 years, or you're chopping vegetables.
No, like initial phase is never easy for any chef when they first join. Things were not easy for me either. When your colleagues know that you don't know much and you're getting paid equally, as they are getting,
yes.
So they kind of, don't treat you very well.
Yes.
So that was definitely a case in my, my appointment that time also, like people were not really happy in the kitchen. And then, I gone through a tough patch also, but I take it as a beginning, as a building stone,
mm-hmm.
where you have to be kind of seasoned with every kind of a situation to be a man, because that was my first job, and I always kind of, in a protective environment of my family or my teachers, And that is the only time I kind of, you know, gone out in the bare world where you have to, you know, make your own ground.
Yeah, and you have to be strong, don't you? I mean, you have to be determined, persevere, and all those things that you do learn in a kitchen, actually.
Exactly. So that's how, you know, things
amazing. Shape. So what happened? How did you get not how did you get out of, but how was it that your journey took you from India? Are your parents still in India?
Yes, my parents are still in India.
Do they get to visit you in the States?
Yeah, they tried, but because the current situation didn't allow them to come here. They applied, their visa got rejected.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a whole nother discussion, isn't it?
Exactly. So
can you visit them and be safe to go home again at the moment?
Yes.
You can get back into the States?
Yes.
Yourself? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not fair that they can't visit, is it? I mean, that is insane.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, you know, we cannot do anything in that. So they're going to have to reapply. So.
Oh, gosh, Manish, that's crazy. Okay, so how did you move from India to the States?
So, as I told you, like, so all these things happened. I started my, like, professional career in the hotel industry in 2003. And in 2007, I became executive chef. And in 2009, I got an international award from Gallivanter's Guide from United States.
Wow.
As a best chef of the year.
Oh, that's amazing, Manish. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you very much. And the same year, this National Geographic, they're having a world travel magazine. They given me best cooking class award, like I was one of the 10, winners.
Yes.
So these two accolades actually been seen by one of the restaurateur here in U.S. in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
So his group name is Knightbridge Restaurants. So he saw, like, my work in those magazines, and he approached me for his upcoming restaurant in 2011, and things worked out, and I joined him 2012 January.
Wow. Were you married by then?
Yes, I was.
With any
children? My wife is my batchmate from Houghton Management. So we did our Houghton Management together.
Okay, fantastic. So you met her during your course.
Yes.
And so is she in hotels as well? Now?
Yes, she just quit because we have two small kids.
Yep, I see that.
And in US, I was on H-1B visa earlier, so H-1B visa don't allow your spouse to work technically, so she's not working, that's why.
Ah, okay. And she can stay home and look after the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, because so you've got two little boys, yeah?
One boy, one girl.
Oh, one boy, one girl. How old are they now?
My daughter is 8 years old now, and son is 6 years old.
Fantastic. Did they enjoy cooking, Manish?
Very much.
Do you eat vegetarian at home?
Yes, we dominantly eat vegetarian at home, but we cook non-veg also. My wife doesn't eat, but she don't mind cooking it or touching it. So that's
why. So you've got one set of crockery?
Yeah.
You'll have to buy another one once your parents get their visa.
Definitely. My mom, especially, I have to buy it.
Absolutely.
But now she also become very kind of, you know, like she started adjusting things. She used to live with me after marriage also, and like never had issues. So, yeah.
And what about the children? Do they enjoy cooking?
Yes. Like
helping.
They're helping, and they love my cooking, and like their mother is also a good cook, and kind of, you know, they are very adventurous and demanding like new kind of stuff almost like every day. So,
oh, okay. That sounds like my boys. They get really upset if I just cook a really boring meal. And it's like, that's what everyone else eats every day, guys.
And in today's world, when they're having access to almost like everything, so they might ask you one day noodles and next day they might ask you quesadillas from Mexican cuisine.
Exactly.
Third day they might demand, a pasta from Italian. So, you know, it's like your home kitchen is kind of, you know,
multicultural.
Multicultural.
Mine are teenagers, Manish, and they bring me photos from Instagram and say, could you please make this? I'm like, you have got to be joking.
Yeah, that's true.
It's so funny. So tell me, so you've obviously changed restaurants a few times and cities as well. I believe you've gone from Washington, D.C., and you're now in San Francisco. And tell me the philosophy around your cuisine now. My friend described it as like the most amazing exploding Indian flavors, but really a modern style cuisine of lots of little different plates to try. So almost like an Indian version of tapas. So that was his kind of feeling from sitting there and eating it as the guest. But from your side of things, you know, what's your philosophy and what are you trying to kind of give to the guest in your restaurant now?
So the whole idea about my vision about Indian food is bringing the home flavors in a complex way where I can justify the complexity of Indian food. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you'll see all over places, there is a very similar Indian restaurant menus all around.
Yes.
Which is kind of, you know, kind of developed in restaurants in India and then been gone out of the world. Which actually vision, they are not a true mirror of Indian cuisine. They are kind of been cooked with Indian spices though, but they are not Indian soul food. They are restaurant oriented, originated Indian food.
Yeah.
Which we don't eat in day-to-day basis at our home. So my idea now is to bring out Indian food in a way we eat in India in our homes.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so that's why we created it in a way, we repackaged it. It's not been look the way it look at home. Mm-hmm. So we kind of, you know, decorated it, modernized it with our techniques. But the flavor profile and, cooking technique is exactly the same. Presentation is very unique, very new, very refreshing. You know, so that we can kind of attract our non-Indian guest to try out Indian food and kind of it's kind of an education also for them that Indian food is not always spicy, not always like, you know, curry driven. That's why the name of the restaurant is August 15.
Yeah, what is that name?
So it is Indian Independence Day.
Oh, 15th of August. Okay, of course. Cool.
So it's there it is, Indian Independence. Here it is, Indian food independence from that stereotype image of Indian food in restaurants where Indian food is kind of being known from butter chicken or tikka masala or lamb rogan josh, which is actually not truly Indian. They are being kind of, you know, redeveloped in restaurants and kind of been sell by Indian name. And mostly like Indian food image came from England, where the Bangladeshis, populated before Indian reached there. And the food culture kind of, you know, revolved around these dishes. And from that time to now, almost every restaurant is copying, these items and putting in their menu and serving the same thing.
I guess it's sort of similar to the old days of Chinese, Manish. Like when I was young, I'm about probably 20 years older than you, but when I was young, you know, the Chinese restaurants, it was all sweet and sour pork, spring rolls, you know, it was just every Chinese restaurant you went to, every food was the same colour. Every restaurant had exactly the same items on the menu, and it was really, 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 well, I mean, I grew up in Australia, so it was real Australianized, you know, Chinese food for the masses. And now, thankfully, you know, there are some really extraordinary Asian restaurants that you can go to, which more typify the area of where the food has come from. So I guess that's the journey you're trying to take us on, because India, I would imagine there's not an Indian cuisine anyway, wouldn't it be fairly area specific as well? And
it
cultural
is,
and religious specific, as you said, your mum's vegetarian, so that would be a whole nother level of separation of food as well.
Yeah, it is actually, because you know, the food should show the journey, you know, the food have taken. Like if I'll tell you about the ingredients, tomato was never Indian ingredient, right?
Wow, like, okay. And it's used in so many, like, just
you cannot miss this ingredient in your kitchen now, if whatever cuisine you are cooking. So like your food should tell the journey of every ingredient. It should tell the, you know, story in itself. Like it should explain why it is Indian. So that's my whole, you know, vision in creating my dishes and bringing it to the menu, where I can tell my guests, look, that's the reason why this dish is in the menu, and this is the story behind it, and that's how I can, you know, educate them about India, about the spice, about the food, and you know, give them a sense of, you know, like why they are eating it, and why they're not being told till date about all these things. So, you know, food is not just a food. It's a whole experience, actually, you know, in my eyes. So when anybody steps in my restaurant, I feel like I'm not going to give them only food as they are paying for it. I want to give them the experience as well as the food. So they, when they go back, they should take some memories with them.
Well, you certainly succeeded in doing that with my friend, so well done. It's obviously going incredibly well, and I hear you, because that's my heart as well. I get very frustrated when I hear all these people at the moment. It's very, I think it's probably stemmed from the United States, because everything tends to here in New Zealand. But I listen to people, you know, you can't eat this and you can't eat that and you must avoid this and you shouldn't touch that, and speaking like that to their children. And it makes me really sad, because I think that people have become so panicked and nervous and obsessed around what they can and cannot eat, that they've forgotten that everyone just needs to eat. And it does tell a story. It tells a story about your family. It may tell a story about your country if you've come to live here from somewhere else. It's where you join your family every day, whether it's in the kitchen or at the table, to share your day over food. And I just think it's really sad that there's so much negative connotation around eating. And I love the fact that you've said it's not just about the food. I'm sharing my story, the story of my country, with my customers, you know, so that they get an entire experience, because they're not just coming there to eat a plate of food and leave as if nothing else is going on for them at the same time.
That's true, yeah, definitely.
So how long have you been at that restaurant, Manish?
So we opened this restaurant last year in November. I'm not only a chef here, I'm a partner also in that.
Fantastic. How exciting. So is that your first time to be part?
Yeah, this is my first time, actually. Yeah.
Wow, so exciting and nervous all at the same time?
Exactly, yeah, right. Because, you know, when we were thinking about this concept, this philosophy, we were not sure about how people going to take it, because San Francisco is a very competitive market, and you know, if you'll see the density of restaurants here is like quite amazing, and you know, the population is kind of, you know, not that much. Like if you'll compare it with New York, you know, in terms of number of restaurants, versus number of people living over there. Like here, the number of restaurants kind of, you know, in average is like kind of double than New York.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like if you calculate it versus area.
Yeah.
And population is like kind of, you know, 1/4.
Yeah, okay. So you're overloaded with competition.
Yes. So when you kind of, you know, jumping in that kind of a market and nobody knows you, you don't have any background. So kind of, you know, it makes your job even tougher, and you have to be like on your toes, you know, every moment, so you can deliver that kind of thing, which actually you vision about and you kind of, you know, wanted to give. So, yeah, we kind of, you know, been successful in that, and people so appreciated our effort and loved us very well. And, you know, we got a lot of publicity all around, you know, like, we don't have to worry about our business any single day, actually. The day we open from today, you know, the things are going really great.
Oh, that's fantastic. How about your team in the kitchen? How do you employ people? Is it, you know, because you've got your passion and your story, so I assume you want to surround yourself with other people who are feeling the same way about their food?
Yeah, so, like, you know, it is like it's a flow, basically. It's kind of a river. So if the source is good, the flow will be always good. So like my philosophy, I kind of able to downflow in my staff, in my chefs, and I got you know, a very good team who actually believe in me, who believes in my philosophy, and they also think about food in a similar fashion. And it is very easy if you have similar thinking people around you to, you know, kind of go out of the box and do amazing things.
Yeah, because that's the way I've always felt about employing other people. I mean, at the moment I work on my own, but, you know, in the past, and I've been blessed to work for people as well who have employed me, because they say you may not have all the skills or all the knowledge yet, but we can see you're passionate about it and you will learn. And I think, and that's the way I hope to be as a boss, that I would give other people a chance because they're passionate and enthusiastic, not necessarily because of their skills.
Yeah, that's true. Because if you have a well-skilled guy or a very knowledgeable guy, it is very difficult to teach that guy your vision, your idea, versus if a guy is a very great attitude and eager to learn, you know, having a right frame of mind, if you get that kind of a person, it is very easy to, you know, input your ideas, your feelings, your vision, your expectation, you know, and you'll get the better results. So I believe in taking raw talent and honing it into my way, so that, you know, we can have a similar ideology, similar kind of, you know, passion about what we want to achieve.
And do they bring in ideas and things as well? Are they tend to be Indian staff?
Yes, I have like a mix of Indian and non-Indian staff.
Okay.
Here.
Cool.
Yeah. So yeah, and the ideas are like, you know, I don't force anything on them. We sit all around during our meals and we talk about dishes, and we kind of, you know, open for ideas from everybody, and then we summarize them and make a action plan and work them out. And then we, like, when you do that kind of exercise, then you come up with a very unique combinations, actually.
Yeah, exactly, because everyone's had some input. And when you say sitting around for a meal, do you do that daily? Do you sit down daily together for a meal?
Yes.
Yeah. When is that, at the end of service or before?
End of service.
Oh, gosh, at what time is that?
Sometime it is like 3 o'clock, sometime it is like 3:30. You know about it. Yeah.
I do know about it, because that's what enticed me, Manish. I was studying psychology at Melbourne Uni and I worked for a chef to earn money. And I knew I should go home earlier, but I was so enticed by that whole having a meal at the end of the shift. That was the most you know, sort of uplifting moment of the whole evening, or sharing the story and can you believe that customer did that, or can you believe that, you know, just the stories of service during the night. That was your really, like, I think if you'd gone home before that, you wouldn't have been able to sleep anyway because your mind would have been abuzz. So there was always kind of like, oh, you can get everything out on the table and chat about everything, and then you can go home and collapse in a heap.
Yeah, it's a very good stress reliever also, like, you know. And then you get to know if somebody gone burnout or, yeah, you know, what kind of a situation they were in. You can see their face. You can, then you can ask, you know, you can get the, you know, sense of, you know, like feeling that this guy needs some sort of an advice or, you know, a little pat on his back. So all these things are very important, and they come only when you spend that time with them.
Yeah, and you can't when you're doing service because you're too busy just getting, you know, your perfect food.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true.
Oh, Manish, it has just been so uplifting talking to you. You are great. You're great on interview as well. So it's just been amazing hearing your journey, and I think that the listeners will just be really inspired. It's just like it's been a really positive conversation with you. So thank you so much for your time. Do you close on any days? Do you get any family time?
Yes, we do get, and that's why we don't open for Sundays, so that we can spend that quality time with our families.
Yeah, good idea. Yeah, good idea. Fantastic. Manish, I am desperate to get to San Francisco. I have a wonderful friend who lives there, and I have another chef friend there, and now you are my other reason for getting to San Francisco.
So, please, you are most welcome.
I would absolutely love to meet you and your family, so I am going to put that on my definite to-do list and make it happen.
Same here, Vanessa. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too, Manish. Bye. What's good? Hope you enjoyed that episode with Manish. Well, I feel really empowered today having talked to him first thing in the morning. What an awesome guy. So many options in his life, but he knew what he was passionate about, and he's turned that into his profession, and he's doing so well. I'm absolutely determined to visit San Francisco. I've heard of so many wonderful restaurants there, which he's also touched on the fact that there are so many there. Thank you so much for joining this episode. I hope that you were as moved as I was with his story of success and his grit and determination to get to where he wanted to get to share the journey of his food, but also of his country's food in true honesty from the Indian table to our table. Thank you again. It's the Fearless Kitchen podcast from here on in. So a big name change, but nothing much else has changed. You're going to get a few episodes from me and a few episodes of these awesome guests that I'm bringing to you as well. Touch base with me via Facebook, Vanessa Baxter NZ, or Instagram, same tagline, or same handle, I should say. And also, of course, through my website, vanessabaxter.co.nz, for lots of recipes, tips and tricks and blog posts. And also through Podcast New Zealand, where you can see all the other fantastic podcasts that we're doing and creating out of the same studio. Thanks again, guys, for sharing this journey with me and with these awesome guests. Catch you next week. The Fearless Kitchen.
Proudly presented by worldpodcasts.com.